As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false witness. Do not defraud. Honour your father and mother."
Amen.
"Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad, because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God."
But why actually is being a Christian important, I guess, is the question that comes out. And it's really about setting the priorities. And the story that we told really, I think, answers that question about what really is it that is important. Because our Bible reading today was about a rich young man who came to see Jesus, and he came asking a very, very genuine question. If I could change the slide, please, Colin. And he asked simply, "What is it that I need to do to have eternal life?" Now, I think that's a very fair question to ask myself. But if you think about it, eternal life, actually, what actually is it? Is it something that we would actually want as human beings? I suggest it is. And the reason is because if you look at in a mirror, does anybody still look in mirrors?
Yeah.
I know when I look in a mirror, and I probably wish I hadn't bothered, and that realization that actually I'm no longer 21. As much as my heart feels it and my mind tells me I am, when I look in the mirror, it is a reality check of truth, isn't it? And I guess deep down in all of us, because there's an industry that makes billions out of this, isn't there? We all want to stay young and healthy, beautiful, and for as long as we possibly can. And I guess if I was to ask you the question, if I had a bottle like this, it's called Eternity. I found it by Googling perfume for eternity or whatever it was. Would you want it if it would give you eternal life? And I don't just mean living forever. It's like, you know, a bit crinkly and a bit old and, you know, not able to get around, and so that the quality of life is less. But, you know, when you're young and everything is working fine, would you want it to live forever? Well, I've got one person that would. Yeah. You don't have to answer. I just want you to think of that question. Would you want to live forever? I suspect deep down, all of us long for that, would long for it. Because it says in the Bible that actually God has placed eternity into the hearts of human beings. There's something about human beings that knows deep down that there is something far more going on in life than what we see and what we're all the kind of different things that we do. And we know that eternal life is not going to be found in a bottle of face cream, is it?
No.
However much you put it on, eventually gravity will defy the cream and you will begin to age. You'll look like me, which you should be really pleased about if you look as good as me when you get to my age. But eternal life, it's something that people have often thought about. I don't know if you saw a few years ago, there was a film called Transcendence, and that was the quest to live forever. And it was very far-fetched science fiction, but it was about a guy who downloaded his mind onto a computer, and he lived sort of forever within the computer while his body actually died. But it is something that exists. So here is a man that is asking, what can I do to get eternal life? What a fair question that is. But like many people, he's actually focusing on the wrong thing. He's asking really the wrong question. Because what does he say? He says, what must I do? Well, the truth is, you cannot do. Because if I was to ask the average person in the street a question, if I was to say, if there was a heaven, if there was a God, what would you have to do to be able to know or to get there? And I guarantee that 99% of those answers would involve something along the lines of, be a good person, do the right things, live a good life, and that will get me to heaven, because I'm a good person. If I do a bit of extra good, then I may end up with a little bit of extra blessing in heaven. But that's actually not the way that we get to heaven. It's not the way that we inherit eternal life. Because Jesus then said to this man, he started to play with him, a few tricks with him. And he said, he read out some of the commandments. I'll just read them to you. Verse 19. He said, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honour your father and your mother. Now the guy stands at that point and thought, bingo, that's it, I've got it. Because look at his answer, what does he say? He said, he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. He was still working, wasn't it, on that I deserve this, because I have earned it. That's what he was thinking. And he's thinking, he was a better person than me, I have to say. I didn't murder anybody in my youth, I have to be honest with that. But all of us, isn't it, to keep those things, and yet he said that he had done them all. But you know, Jesus, God never gave us those rules just so that we can be moral and just so that we could try and keep them and earn our way to heaven. He gave us them because in a little bit later in the Bible, it says that they're like a tutor that will lead us to Christ, Amen. Into relationship with Christ. In other words, what they do is they show us where we're going wrong. They show us deep down that we have a need for forgiveness. They show us we're not perfect. And they show us pretty much that if we think we can get eternal life and go to heaven because of all the good life that we lead, then we're sadly missing the point. The problem really is the heart, isn't it? Psalm 52 says that everybody is corrupt. Their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. And the truth is that for all of us, we're all far from perfect. It's our heart. And it goes on to say that the way that we are saved. It says we're saved by grace, which is, it's a gift. Eternal life is a gift that God will give to you if you ask him. Simply a gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It is a gift. And how do we get it? He goes on to say, doesn't it, that you have been saved through faith. Not faith in what you do, whether you're a good person, whether you're a bad person. Not faith in how many good deeds you've done all the way through your life. Not faith if you're a religious person and you come to church or you do whatever kind of religious thing you like. But simply faith and trust in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we get eternal life. So here is a man, he was hopeful, wasn't it, that he got it because he'd been a good person all of his life. But what had he'd done wrong. Let's read on. Jesus said to him, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor. You will come and have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I wonder, do you know that today that God loves you so much? His heart absolutely is completely for you. You look at some parts of the Bible, it says that God sings over people with rejoicing. When we saw the delicate, the vulnerability of Johan here, as we prayed God's blessing upon him, God rejoices. That's how he sees each of us, simply as a child. Amen. Who he greatly loves. And a lot of people think, you know, that this passage is really about giving up everything to get what God has. And that's simply so far from the truth. Yeah. Because what God wants more than anything else simply is the response of your love back. Yeah. Now, I don't know, imagine a marriage. I always look at it like this. Imagine when I went to get married, that I was stood there with the vicar. And I'm about to get married on the understanding that I'm going to commit my full heart to my wife and she's going to commit her full heart to me. Imagine if we just said, well, actually, sorry, I'm in love with somebody else as well. That would be a terrible marriage, wouldn't it? To have that, isn't it? And that's simply, isn't it, what God is getting at in this story. Because what does he tell him to do? Go and sell all that you have. Why does he tell him to do it? Because in that man's heart, what was his first love? Money and wealth. Does that mean to say money and wealth is wrong? No, it doesn't. But he loved wealth more than anything else. And, you know, we can't have love God while we have something else that takes our first place in our hearts and lives. Like a marriage, it doesn't work for you to love another but try to be committed in that marriage. He went away very upset that day because he was very, very wealthy. He loved the material things of the world more than anything else. When I think maybe about what is it about us, what do we prioritize in our life? What's first place? I suspect today, family, our first place. And that's good. That's the way God designed things. But actually, the Bible says the very first thing is we should love God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds and all of our souls, and then others as much as we love ourselves. Quite simply, loving him first has to come first. Without it, we cannot enter in to the kingdom of heaven. We cannot enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. What's he saying then? He's saying, make me a priority. I am worth more than anything. So I guess for that man, he had to weigh it up, didn't he? The cost. Was it worth following Jesus to have eternal life through relationship? Or did he just want to continue to pursue his own life with his own wealth? I guess for all of us, we have to ask that question, isn't it? But I come back to the bottle on the screen. If you could have eternal life in that bottle, what would you pay for that? What would you pay for it? I suspect if you were very rich, you'd be willing to give probably everything you'd got to get what was in that bottle. And Jesus asks the same question, doesn't he? I give you eternal life, but will you willing to give me everything that you have to put me first place in your life? It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But a guy called Paul, he said that whatever I thought was gain, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. And to know God in that way, for those of you who have experienced it, It's worth more than £1 million.
Okay.
It's worth probably more than all of your wealth put together. It's worth more than probably all of the wealth actually in this room put together. And in fact, it's worth more than the wealth that's probably in the world to know Jesus Christ. Because it's not just that he's like an insurance policy that we cash in as we're getting towards the end to get eternal life. He's with us every step of the way. We get to know him, his beauty, his incredible nature that's worth so much. So how can we be in that right relationship with him? Well, very simply, you know, when we come to Christ and when we see him and know him, everything else becomes pale in comparison. So I want to ask you to consider what is important to you. Only you can decide that. But that decision will impact the rest of your life, what your priorities are, and your future forever. And with something so important as that, so precious, your eternity, your destiny, surely you owe it to yourself to simply think about it. Jesus said, think and consider. So why not maybe talk about with it with somebody today? The Bible says that we don't have to do that because today we can just open our hearts up simply and give them to him. One thing I've discovered as I've followed Jesus is that before I became a follower, it was so hard I couldn't get it. But now I see it. And one thing I've learned is that I've never, ever been disappointed. When we put God first, all the other things fall into their proper place. They drop out of our lives. Our love for the Lord will govern all of the claims on our affections, all of the demands on our time and the interests we pursue, and the order of our priorities. I just want to finish with a little story. We did this story in one of our Bible studies with a small group, and one of the lads there, I asked the question, what is it that you would give up, or what has the Lord asked you to give up? And he said, I didn't know whether he was joking or not, but he said, car boot sales. After picking myself off of the floor 10 minutes later from laughing, I began to think about it and realised what a serious point that was, because he explained for him to go to car boot sales and just collect more worthless stuff that he filled his house with, including lots of fish tanks, he told us, which again we had to pick ourselves off the floor from laughing. He realised that actually all this material stuff, in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ, it just needed to be gone. Get rid of the clutter and really focus on what was important. And that is Jesus Christ. So what will you do today? If today maybe it's not something you really ever thought about, there's a booklet on the silver table outside the door that really explains what being a Christian is all about, how you can know Jesus. Or it's a bit like the bottle. How can I have eternal life? That answer is in there for you. And for the rest of us, isn't it? As we continue to live out our faith, let's get our priorities right, isn't it?
Right.
God first,
yes.
Others next, and ourselves last.
Amen.
When we do that, we really will be blessed.
Amen.
And in all that we do.